Friends, this is the last chapter of your syllabus book on trade finance, chapter number 24. And we are going to deal with the foreign trade policy, which is currently in force. Friends, you might have seen in earlier 23 chapters, we have discussed somewhere there is always mention about the foreign trade policy. What is this policy? And with reference to the reference made in respective chapters, how it is impacting them. So, this policy, foreign trade policy, is nothing but it is overall, in short, giving the directions to the trading community in international trade, banks, financial institutions, and the agencies, including the government agencies, which are involved in the foreign trade. For them, there are certain guidelines are quoted in this policy. Policy is nothing but it is the content of the guidelines for handling the foreign trade, which includes operations and implementation of these guidelines also. This policy currently, which we are using, is 2015-20. After 5 years, this policy is required to be changed for next 5 years. But unfortunately, due to the COVID, the policy remained to be issued because of the lockdown in all areas of the world. Our country is not an exception to it. So each time, by 3 months, 6 months, 6 months, 3 months, like that, the policy has got extended, and current policy was actually to be expiring on September 2022. But so far, even in the month of November, there is no guidelines or no fresh policy is issued. Possibly, this policy may be extended up to March 31st, 2023. However, till then, the content of this policy is referred to the respective chapter and respective content of the chapter, content of the process, content of the product of the trade finance, and it is applicable to them. No doubt, this policy is always reviewed year on year basis. So year on year basis, last 2 years, this policy is reviewed also. Some changes have been incorporated, some changes have been made. Those changes, keeping intact the essence of the essence of the policy, we have made the necessary changes. I have made the necessary changes wherever government has made the changes in the policy. And accordingly, I have structured this chapter 24 on the foreign trade policy containing the objective of this structure is to understand the general provision regarding the import and export, ROTDEP, this is, we have in briefly discussed in while discussing the provision for certain improvement in the policy measures, then towns of export excellence. Okay, so these two items are recently added somewhere after 2020 in the policy while reviewing it. Okay, then something regarding the duties, exemptions, and remission scheme, export promotion of the capital goods scheme, export oriented units, that is EOUs, ESTPs, STPs, BTPs, and finally the deemed export that is taken into consideration. Now, the current policy that is called FTP, Foreign Trade Policy 2015-20, as I said, this policy was valid by way of extension till September 30, 2022 and continue to be extended till the new policy is issued by the government unless otherwise it is specified. Therefore, all the exports and imports made up to date notification shall accordingly be governed by the relevant foreign trade policy unless otherwise specified. Director General of Foreign Trade may, means by means of the public notice, notify the handbook of procedures, laying down the procedural aspects to be followed by the exporter and importer. Any licenses, authorization, certificate, script, or any instrument which is of financial or fiscal in nature, benefit under that, issued under the current foreign trade policy and shall be continued to be valid till the new policy is issued. Okay, then foreign trade policy set out the regulation for cross-border trade and reveals the government's position on host of the commitment which is considered to be a crucial policy variables such as technology flow, then intangible, etc. General provision with regard to the import and export is content of one of the chapter where general guidelines for import and export has been issued under the policy. These guidelines are further expanded by Reserve Bank of India, taking into consideration the representations made by various trade bodies and other frontiers who are approaching to the RBI for modification. But by keeping the essence of the same regulations, same has been modified by the Reserve Bank of India. Now let us understand which are the general provisions made in the policy in respect of the import and export of the goods and services. Export and imports are considered to be freely permitted unless they are regulated. In short, it is mentioned. Policy always, in short only, they are giving the description, which will be expanded further, as I said. Then Indian Trade Classification Harmonized System, that is ITC, Indian Trade Classification, ITCHS, whenever this word comes against any of the product, then it will be specified by the number which has the prefix called ITCHS. That is nothing but Indian Trade Classification of the goods as per the Harmonized System of export and import. Next one is a compliance of the import with the domestic laws. Both are to be compared and should be made friendly with each other. Then, authority to specify the procedures. Now, who is the authority who can specify the procedure in respect of the policy implementation? DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade, may specify the procedure to be followed by the exporter and importer or by any licensing or regional authorities or by any other authority for the purpose of implementation of the provision of Foreign Trade Policy or Foreign Trade Act, rules, orders made thereto under as per the Foreign Trade Policy. This procedure and amendment should be published by means of the public notice and also into the gazette, right? Now, coming down to each aspect of this general provisions, is, first one is a importer-exporter code. This is nothing but importer-exporter code is nothing but it is IE code, and now it is called as EIEC, that is electronic import-export code, which is a 10-digit number which is allotted to a person that is mandatory for undertaking any export or import activities. Now, this facility for IEC is an electronic form. Issuance of this number is by way of electronic. So, it is called as EIEC, and that has also been operationalized. Okay? No export or import without IEC. It is clearly stipulated that if there is no IEC number, then that person or entity cannot undertake any import or export business. No export or import shall be made by any person without obtaining IEC number unless specifically it is exempted. Now, when it is called exempted, that means there are certain categories where IEC number is not required. IEC number is not required. Okay, that list is given in the handbook of procedure. Okay, only one IEC against one PAN number, that is permanent account number, will be issued by the DGFT, and only one IEC is permitted against on one permanent account number, that is PAN. If any PAN card holder has more than two IEC, then extra IEC shall be disabled by the DGFT. Now, having understood this IEC and PAN number, which is made mandatory for import-export transactions, let us understand the mandatory document, provision for the mandatory document in policy for import and export of the goods from and into India. Now, mandatory document which is required for the export are mainly of three types. One is a bill of lading or airway bill. That means it covers the transport. Okay. Second one is a commercial invoice cum packing list, either separately or in a combined manner. Commercial invoice cum packing list is issued in one form. Second, that is the business or commercial document, right? And third one is shipping bill or bill of export, which is called as a regulatory document, which confirms that country has left the good in respect of export. And shipping bill is generated by the customs officials, which functions under the Director General of Foreign Trade. Now, mandatory document required for the import of the goods. So, three documents in respect of export, similar manner, another three documents in respect of import of the goods into India. For that, there will be, one is a bill of lading or airway bill, that is transport document, common, commercial invoice or cum packing list, or separate or clubbed together, that is invoice cum packing list, commercial, that is commercial document, and bill of entry for the import into India. This bill of entry is a conclusive proof that goods have already reached to the territory of the India. Goods have already reached in the country. Okay. Now, in specific cases of the export or import, the authority electronically or in writing seeking an additional document or information as deemed necessary to ensure the legal compliance. Now, actual user condition. This is applicable for all the goods imported or exported, particularly imported. Goods which are importable freely without any restriction may be imported by any person, provided he is holding the IEC number. However, if such imports require an authorization and actual user alone may import such goods, unless the actual user condition is specifically dispensed with by the DGFT. Now, coming down to another provision in the policy regarding the prohibition, country and product specific prohibition mentioned in the foreign trade policy. Prohibition on import and export of arms and related material to and from Iraq is completely stopped, that is prohibited. Okay? In policy, foreign trade policy. Now, prohibition on direct or indirect import and export from and to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea is also completely prohibited. You cannot import. Then, prohibition on direct or indirect import from and to Iran, that is also completely prohibited. Then, prohibition on import of charcoal from Somalia is not permitted, that is also prohibited. Now, import-export through the straight trading enterprises. It has got last but one chapter, we were talking about the state trading corporation, that is STC, okay? State trading enterprises. So, this institution is established by the government of India. So, the government and non-government enterprises, including the marketing bodies which deal with the goods for the export and or import, any good import or export of which is governed through the exclusive or the special privilege which is granted to these state trading enterprises, those goods either exported or imported through them only, which in short we will call it as a canalizing import, right? Then state trading enterprises also makes such a purchase or sale involving the import and export solely in accordance with the commercial consideration, including its price, quality, availability, marketability, transportation, and other areas which is directly attached to this import and export of goods, including the sale in non-discriminatory manner, and also afford to the enterprises in accordance with the customary of the business practices to compete the participation in such a phases, such a purchases or sales. DGFT can grant an authorization to any other person to import or export any of the goods notified for the exclusive trading through the STE. Now, coming down to understand the provision relating to the trade with the neighboring countries. Okay. Now, it may be Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, like that, you know, which are landlocked countries. So, Sri Lanka is not landlocked, okay. DGFT can issue an instruction or frame the scheme also as may be required to promote the trade for strengthening the economic ties with neighboring countries. They can also provide the transit facility. Transit of the goods through the India from or to the countries which are adjacent to the India shall be regulated in accordance with the bilateral treaties between India and those countries and will be subject to such a restriction as may be specified by the Director General of Foreign Trade in accordance with the International Convention. Trade with Russia and debt repayment agreement. I said while we were talking about the trade credits where RBI is intervening for the settlement. Okay, this trade credit with Russia is a specific scheme which is entered into specific agreement like a state trade credit agreement entered into by Indian government with the Russian government. In case of this trade with Russia, under the debt repayment agreement, DGFT can issue an instruction or frame the scheme as may be required, and anything which is contained in foreign trade policy insofar as it is inconsistent with such instruction or the scheme, that shall not be applied. Now, import of specific categories of the goods. Import of samples. Okay. When import of samples is there, it shall be governed by para 2.65 of Handbook of Procedures. And import of the gift. Import of the gift shall also be free when such a goods are otherwise freely importable under ITCHS. And in other cases, these imports shall be permitted against the authorization issued by DGFT. Few other regulations consist of, one is passenger baggages. Passenger baggages. You know, while going abroad, people will carry with them their belongings, baggage, packed in the baggages. But at a time, it may not be possible for them to carry the entire luggage. Maybe they have to again import in their country, import in destined country by way of cargo also. So to that effect, as per the foreign trade policy, bona fide household goods and the personal effect can be imported as a part of the passenger baggage as per the limit, terms and the condition thereof stipulated by Ministry of Finance. Sample of such items that are otherwise freely importable under foreign trade policy may also be imported as part of the passenger baggage without any authorization. For that, authorization is not required. So, also the exporters coming from abroad are also allowed to import the drawing, pattern, label, price tags, buttons, belts, trimming and emblems which are required for the export as a part of their passenger baggages without an authorization. Another provision in foreign trade policy is for the re-import of the goods sent for repaired abroad. Capital goods, particularly machinery, equipment, component part of the accessories, whether it is imported or it is indigenous, except those restricted under ITCHS, may be sent abroad for repair, testing, quality improvement, for upgradation or standardization of the technology, and re-imported without any authorization. No approval of the DGFT or customs is required. Then, import of goods which are used in the project abroad. Goods are sent for execution of the project abroad. But when the project activities are completed, then those exported goods must be imported back into the country. For that, in foreign trade policy, there is a provision for the project contractors that the after completion of the project abroad may import without any approval or authorization goods, including the capital goods used in the project, provided that they have been used for at least 1 year. Then import of prototype. Import of new or second-hand prototype or second-hand samples that is permitted to import in the country on payment of the duty without any authorization to an actual user. Maybe it is an industrial or personal user engaged in the production of or having industrial license which is intent for research, in terms of which the prototype is sought for product development and research. As the case may be, upon self-declaration these prototypes are required to be self-declared to the effect that the satisfaction of the customs authority will be permit them to import into the country. Then import through the courier service is also permitted. Import through a registered courier services is permitted as per the notification issued by Directorate of Revenue Intelligence, and this importability or exportability of such items shall be regulated in accordance with the foreign trade policy. Now, import of second-hand goods. In second-hand goods, if you look at the chart here, this chart will be appearing as it is in the handbook of the procedures. So, the categories of the second-hand goods, import policy, and the conditions for import, if any, stipulated by the policy that is mentioned on the last column. So, the first one, the personal computer, laptop, including their refurbished or reconditioned spares, then photocopier machine, digital multifunction of print, copying machine, air conditioner, diesel generating set, etc. So these are the items which are restricted to import into the country if they are second-hand. If at all, anybody thinks that, because these are restricted, one cannot, under the import policy, one cannot import this. But if second-hand, I mean to say, not fresh, second-hand. But if anyone wants the second-hand, these items, then the importer can be importable against the authorization granted by the DGFT or customs. However, the refurbished and reconditioned spares of the capital goods are permitted to be freely imported subject to the production of chartered engineer certificate, which certifies to the effect that such spares that have been imported as a second-hand one have at least 80% of the residual life of the original spare. Okay, so these are freely importable along with the certification given by the qualified chartered engineer. Few other items like second-hand capital goods, other than whatever is mentioned above, that also can be importable free. But the second-hand goods, other than the capital goods, are restricted, and it will be importable against the authorization given by the DGFT. Okay? In respect of the second-hand goods, some other provisions relating to the imports are, one is under import under lease finance. When machinery is imported under the lease finance, there will be no specific permission or authority is required for lease finance capital goods. Then execution of legal undertaking or bank guarantee. In respect of that, wherever any duty-free import is allowed or where otherwise specifically stated that this letter of undertaking or bank guarantee is required or bond is required with the custom authorities, which is prescribed before clearance of the goods. In that case, this guarantee or letter of undertaking has to be submitted to the concerned authority at the customs, right? Then, in case of indigenous sourcing, authorization holder shall furnish this bank guarantee or bond to the concerned authorities for sourcing the material from indigenous supplies, which is nominated agency prescribed under Chapter 2 of Handbook of Procedures. Provision relating to the private and public bonded warehouse for imports there is a provision in the foreign trade policy. According to that policy, private or public bonded warehouse can be set up in the domestic tariff area, that is outside ACZ and all other things, right? As per the terms and condition, as per the notification issued by the Directorate of Revenue Intelligence, and any person that imports the good except the prohibited items, arms and ammunition, hazardous waste, chemicals, and warehouse them in such a bonded warehouses. They are not permitted to bring in, import, and then put it into warehouse. These items, prohibited items, are not at all permitted. Such a goods may be cleared for the home consumption in accordance with the provision of foreign trade policy against the authorization. Wherever it is required, custom duty is applicable, shall be paid at the time of clearance of these goods. If these goods are not cleared when it is imported, and if these goods are not cleared other than the goods which are prohibited, okay, if they are not cleared for the home consumption within a period of 1 year or such an extended period as the custom authority may permit, the importer of such a good shall re-export those goods, do not keep in the warehouse, right? Then there will be a special provision in the policy for hide skin and the semi-finished goods. Hide skins and semi-finished goods. Hides, skins, and the semi-finished leather that may be imported in the public bonded warehouse for the purpose of domestic tariff area sale, and if it is unsold items thereof, it can be re-exported from such a bonded warehouses at the 50% of the applicable export duty. However, this facility shall not be allowed for the import under private bonded warehouse. Sale on high sea. Sale on high sea for import into India may be made subject to the foreign trade policy or any other law in force. Now, what is this high sea? High sea sale. High sea sale means the importer in India imports the goods, place the order, goods are shipped, but before reaching the goods into the country, the importer himself tries to sell that goods to other party. He executes the agreement much before that shipment touches to the Indian shore. Then in that case, all other, by making the import duty and all other things, by transferring the document into ultimate purchaser's name, this can be cleared by the third party, which is called as high sea sale. That means sale which is happened before the goods actually reaches to the Indian shore. Okay, then this provision regarding the import we have seen, and general provision also in foreign trade policy we have seen. Now, another is the policy in respect of export of goods. Now, export related provision in foreign trade policy. All the goods that may be exported without any restriction, or except to the extent that the such exports are regulated by ITCHS or any other provision of the foreign trade policy in any other law or time being in force. However, DGFT can specifically, through a public notice, declares such items and conditions according to which the goods not included in ITCHS may be exported without any authorization. Now, exemption and remission of the service tax. Exemption and remission of service tax in domestic tariff area on the goods and services which are exported. for all the goods and services which are exported from the country from the unit which is located in domestic tariff area and units in export oriented unit, ESTP, STP, BTP, exemption and the remission of the service tax which is levied and related to the exporter shall be allowed after making the payment. Now, provision relating to the support manufacturers, the benefits which is made available for supporting manufacturers. Manufacturer on his own cannot manufacture the goods. He is looking for some other to help him to manufacture the goods. Maybe he is a raw material supplier or maybe merchant trader. Okay, so this is required to be declared in specially in ARE and AR3 form, and their name of the supporting manufacturer should also be mentioned in this ARE, AR3 or shipping bill, bill of export and also on airway bill, right? Then third party export. Third party export means except the deemed export, this export shall be allowed under foreign trade policy. In such a cases, export documents such as the shipping bill shall indicate the name both manufacturer exporter as well as the manufacturer also and the third party exporter. These names should be appearing in all the invoices as well as BRC, that is bank realization certificate on export order, invoices, the name of the third party must appear, then only the transaction in the banking parallels can be entertained. Then export of the specific categories. Provision relating to the export of the specific categories of the export in foreign trade policy. Number one is export of samples. Samples can be exported for the purpose of expanding the business and procuring the orders. Export of the sample and the free of charge goods shall be governed by the provision which is given in handbook of provision and it is permitted. Okay. Then export of gift. Export of gift. Now the goods which are including the edible items of the value which is not exceeding 5 million rupees. 5 million rupees, that is 5 lakh rupees. Not million, 5 lakh rupees in a licensing year may be exported as a gift. The value of the goods which are exported as a gift should not exceed 5 lakh rupees. 5 lakh rupees. However, the items which are mentioned as a restricted in the export in ITCHS shall not be exported as a gift without authorization. Now, export of the passenger baggage. Bona fide person's baggage can be exported either along with the passenger or if it is accompanied, unaccompanied within a 1 year before or after the passenger departure from India. The Government of India official proceeding abroad official position shall however be permitted to carry along with them the personal baggage, food items, free, restricted or prohibited strictly for their personal consumption only. Samples of such items that are otherwise freely exportable under foreign trade policy may also be exported as a part of the passenger baggage without requirement of any authorization. Thank you. Thank you very much.